Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another episode of Merkaba Chakras podcast. Today, we talk to Onike Mahealani Kuamo O'Henry and her assistants, La'akea, from the Big Island of Hawaii. Onike is a spiritual teacher and messenger for the spiritual voices of her native Hawaiian ancestors. She shares the tradition about her culture and the aloha spiritual values for self, others, and the environment in group presentations, at retreats, and within her workshops through the ancient spiritually pragmatic teachings of Ho'oponopono Ke Ala. Now, with that, aloha Onike Mahealani and La'akea. Welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Aloha. Aloha. Yes, and just real quick, it's Onike.
Onike. Excuse me. I'm gonna work on that. And just for everybody else who's not familiar with what Onike means, it is the Hawaiian word for auntie. So it's a sign of respect, like auntie. So Onike. Now, you know, the goddess makes no mistakes connecting us together. So I'm really excited to discuss Ho'oponopono Ke Ala with you. But before we begin this interview, Onike and La'akea will bring us into the energy with a Hawaiian chant. So take it away, ladies.
Okay. So the mo'olelo, the story behind this chant, as with most olis or chants, whenever there's a gathering of two or more, or, you know, there's a special gathering, and we consider our meeting with you is a special gathering, you know, because the rest of the world will also get to be a part of this canoe, thanks to you. So with that said, the chant that we will be opening with is called Mahalo Nui o Holo'oko'a, and it speaks about the gratitude that we have for our environment, everywhere we are, and mostly too, to remind us that we are all in the same canoe and we're all children. We're all children of the universe. Okay?
Makaukau.
Aye.
Keikiau keia o holo'okoa. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo nui, noho lake ia, pia ko mai kai, me ke aloha.
Mahalo nui,
mahalo nui. I thank you for this day.
Pia ko mai kai,
blessings,
me ke aloha.
With love.
Iki au ke ia.
Eki au ke ia, no holokoa, ele mai anga, no makalii.
Eki au ke ia, eki au ke
ia. And I am this child of the universe, and I come from the star system, makalii.
Aloha huakahi.
Aloha huakahi. No hokuwa o mai kai. Ina pupuna.
Aloha huakahi.
Aloha huakahi.
And in this loving journey, I am loved. I am blessed by the ancestors.
Aina iamai.
Aina iamai. Anaka puana. Keiki au keia. Olokoa.
Aina ho.
Aina iamai. Anaka puana.
This is my song, my story. I'm loved, blessed by the ancestors.
Elaba. Kiki au ke ia, o holo okoa, aloha, po mai kai, I naku puna.
And I'm reminded that I am the child of the universe and that we all are in the same canoe, the same va'a. E mahalo. And it's with greatest of gratitude, we set the energies in place. We are lokahi e me ke aloha. We are all in oneness. Mahalo. Thank you.
Wonderful. That was beautiful, ladies. Thank you so much, Anike and Laakea. Now, so the first question that as we get into this conversation, Anike, can you tell us your story for how you got into this work in the first place?
Oh boy. Okay.
We want to hear it. Everybody's journey to is a little bit different. So the ancestors chose you to bring in a message, and they gave you an assignment. So please tell the audience how you got into this work, because not everybody's doing this work.
Well, according to my mom, when I was born, she received the signs from the mo'o, which is our aumakua. It's a mo'o unihipili, which is the ghost lizard. Okay. So whenever a child is chosen or has a something significant that they want that child to help bring something in, you know, and in my case, it was to bring in the messages, to align myself, to stay in that alignment of the energies and the story time and the teachings from the ancestors. So that's how I got here. And when my mom, oh boy, I gotta tell you this. When she was carrying me, my grandfather was at our house and he was waiting because he told that the one that you're waiting for is coming very, very soon, you know. So sure enough, one afternoon, he hears my mother and she starts screaming, yeah? And so he goes running out to the backyard and he's counting, ekahi, elua, ekolu, eha. In the ancient language, he's counting to see what is it, what's happening. And as he's counting, he's putting out this energy of being ready or in readiness because he feels, this is the one. This is the one, yeah? And so he gets to my mother, and my mother is pointing at her arm. And she's just pointing at this arm of hers. And it happened to be the left arm, which is where the heart space is, which is where the connection to the heart means that it is all about family, oneness, spirit, you know, spirit and human. You know, and the messages soon to come, you know. So my mother, in her panic, of course, you know, not accustomed to something like this, tells my grandfather, take it away, because she can see this. She can see this unihipili, this ghost lizard, you know. And my grandfather couldn't even see this ghost lizard, but she kept pointing to it. So to calm her down, he takes her in the house, gives her some ava, calms her right down, and he tells her, ah, the Almakua has come, and the Almakua has a message. And so we need to get the message from this animal god, animal god, yeah? And my mother says, well, no, you know, she's more of the modern. And so she's saying, no, just take it away, whatever it is, take it away, you know. And my grandfather kept saying, no, this is the one I've been waiting for. So she insists, no, not my child, you know. And my grandfather says, yes, this is the child. She will be the messenger. She is that messenger. So all my life, it has been that way. I have always trained with my grandfather, and he's always passed on the messages, and he passes it on through song, through mo'olelo, the story times, you know, through the plants, through things of nature. They have a way of speaking to you, and you have a way of picking up on it, you know. This is the ancient way, yeah. And so, of course, as a child, I never questioned it. So all of that information just seeps right in, you know. There is no mana'o, in other words, no human side of the brain to try to direct or control anything. Because it's not there, you know. I mean, it doesn't try to take control. This is all coming through the ancestors, you know.
Right.
What they need for me to be in oneness with, you know. So all my life, it was like that. And at first, you know, when I, it was the ancient way of where a child, you know, they say a child is raised by the village. Well, that was very much in place when I was a child, you know, and everybody supported that, you know, of what it is that I needed to know about or something, you know. Someone would say something, would give me a tidbit of information, you know, and I would go back and ask my grandfather about it or whatever it was, you know. So these things would be explained to me. So that by the time I was old enough to go to school, see, because I was raised, you know, with grandpa, yeah. And then at a certain age, when they feel like, okay, it's time, then you go back into the modern world, so to speak, you know. So I had to go into the schools and register in and all of this kind of stuff. Well, it was also at a time where speaking our language was not supposed to be. I mean, others could speak their language, their Japanese or whatever other cultures, but we as Kanaka Maoli, as Hawaiians, were not encouraged, nor, you know, we were judged not to speak our language. And of course, we know that now, back in history, it was all part of the takeover of our lands, okay? So we know that. However, we also know that we had a queen, Queen Liliuokalani. She was the last queen. She was the one that gave the order. And this is so aloha, this is the aloha spirit at work. She gave the order not for our people not to pick up the spears and to fight for the land. She said, what good is the land if my people are gone? You see? So even from that point in time, the aloha spirit had to be, say, awaken and put forth in a very, very big way, huge way, you know.
Right,
that,
right.
Yes, even today. Yeah, we're still doing it. But what we haven't lost is that love and that care and that importance, that value of the Aloha Spirit and the treatment as much as possible with others that we, you know, we say to ourselves, well, are you true to your culture or are you not? You know, this is the time to hold true to that culture. So Ho'oponopono Ke Ala is a big part of that. And even that was buried for a long time because the missionaries that came through, you know, there was other influences that also tried to take place from our belief systems. So the missionaries came in, and so even today, you'll hear of Ho'oponopono, but it is the more modern version, and it is the one that holds true more to the Western influences than it does to the Hawaiian, the Kanaka Maoli.
Right. And I wanted to get into more kind of like the native Hawaiian perspective on the practice of Ho'oponopono Ke Ala, because it is a practice where you make right more right the path. And even in that alone, people don't quite, especially in Western minds, don't quite understand that. So I understand that practice in Buddhism, but it's very, very advanced. And but before I explain the Eastern interpretation of that in our tradition and perspective on reality and how to work with reality, let's explain what is the native, original, ancient Hawaiian interpretation of Ho'oponopono Ke Ala, which is making right more right. Can you explain that to people?
Making right more right. If you knew what our language meant, you would know that those words are saying making right more right. In other words, the aloha has its values, and it stands first, foremost, and always as much as possible. Now, in this belief system, there is no wrongs. Very important, okay? And just the words that lead into the practice of Ho'oponopono Ke Ala, it is saying right there in our language, it is saying, ho'o, make something happen, making something happen. Pono means the excellence, the brightness of something. And then you add the other pono with it, that again says, what might have been right, say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, now you make it even more right as the evolution through your experiences catches up to you and you get to see what this practice and teachings is really all about. Making right more right is the Aloha Spirit.
Right. And just to, right. And just so that people understand, like when I look at the concept of making right more right, it from the Buddhist or Eastern philosophies of that thought process, is very, very advanced understanding of the Dharma, very advanced understanding of reality, which for many Western minds who don't quite understand that or can accept that, have a very hard time accepting reality. Because, and I want to see how this is understood in Hawaiian native tradition, because the Eastern understanding of make right, more right is that there are no mistakes in the universe. The universe made no mistake. Every single thing, every single good, every single bad was made for a purpose. It's part of the creation. Yes. Out of the dirt, out of the chaos, out of the unsightliness of what happened or how it happened, it is the foundation of what is to come that is going to be beautiful. It's like mm-hmm. being scared of the lava as it erupts and builds before the island is made. So that's that it's very advanced perspective on the Dharma or reality, that even the worst thing that has happened, as much pain as it could inflict on people, there was no mistake. And in the belief in Buddhism, in reincarnation, and I know this in my practice of hypnosis, when I put people through hypnosis and they go through their different lives and past lives, all of the things that happened were, not all of it, but some of the main things that were really impactful events in their life were pre-planned as building blocks for what was to come. And they may not understand that until after they go through it and go to the end of the life cycle of that creation process. So it's very advanced understanding, but for young souls and for many people in the West, they can't understand that concept that there are no mistakes in the universe, and that all we're doing is accepting the creation process and trying to work with it to make it even better down the road. Can you explain that in Ho'oponopono, like that concept more clearly for people to understand? Because they really can't accept that that even the most horrible things that happen have a place in the creation process.
The thought. You take the thought, all right, as everything, energy comes through this nucleus, this sight unseen, so to speak, yeah? And yet we know energy exists. I mean, look at what's around us, plants, flowers, things that can grow in spite of the worst storms. In spite of the, the plights, the battles, whatever, you know, the thought is that as long as you think it, so you be it. See, and that's simple. I know that's really simple. And if you have a Western mind with this, you're going to try to fit the Ho'oponopono Keala into a small little cup, okay? And say, okay, but I still don't understand it. I still don't understand it. Of course not. You won't understand it until you actually heleka olelo, as we say. Walk the talk, as we say. Yeah. The thought factors, that choice, the koho, what is the thought that you're putting out here? You know, what is it? Is it built on what? Is it built on aloha? Or is it built on revenge? Or is it built on, you know, more primitive side of, say, the human? You know what I mean? As long as one needs to continue the conversion of evolution, okay, you're going to run into the same type of understanding that makes it hard for it to fit.
Right, right.
It's really simple.
Right. It is really simple. And many people, especially in the West, have a very hard time understanding this because of maybe the culture or the belief systems that they have adopted, because reality or the Dharma or, you know, everything in the aloha spirit that runs around in space, everything is dependent on the level of consciousness and how you see it. So let me give you an example. Okay, so for Eastern mindsets, in advanced concepts of karma, which karma is just basically unbalanced energy trying to balance itself. That's all it is, unbalanced energy trying to balance itself. It's not like you have karma debt. If you cause a ripple in the pond is going to try to adjust itself to reach calm. It's just unbalanced energy. So in this concept, just to, because this is the hardest part for many Western minds to understand about Ho'oponopono, Allah, is that, you know, in the concept of manifest destiny, like certain big events are going to happen as part of the creation process to get to the best experience. And you may not understand it for that reason at the time until after you complete a full cycle of that, whatever that experience is. People will question, well, then, you know, is everything that happens to us pre-planned, or do we have any free will in creation? So let me give you examples. So if somebody's house was on fire, okay, let's say the wildfires recently, okay, the forest fires burnt their house down. It's a really tragic situation. They lost everything. Hopefully that everybody survived and was safe, but they lost all the possessions. In that moment is a horrible thing that they see happen to them. And it causes a lot of pain and grief. And so for a lot of Western minds, they look at that, that's horrible. Why would that be part of my experience? Why would that be pre-planned? Not knowing that that was maybe the foundations that built a better neighborhood and gave the person a better opportunity for a better home, better opportunities that could not have come forward had they not lost that house that everything that they had was tied to. It kind of released them. So that's one way of seeing it on a grander scale in Eastern philosophy, but that's how we see it. So for Native Hawaiians, you know, how do they see those tragic events in somebody's life? Is it manifest destiny that they pre-plan it, or is it just an accident?
No, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. I wouldn't say that it's an accident. I would say then that's almost as if saying that your life is an accident. And I don't believe that. It is not an accident. Yeah. We are here to serve purposes. Some might say, oh, well, you're here to, you know, do your karmatic growth again or whatever, you know. Okay, if that works for you, it's good, you know. Whatever works for you as you take your steps to grow, okay? Just like a baby. A baby, you know, even though you want to rush over there and be sure to, you know, help it and all of this, sometimes you must let it grow. You must let it go. And so that it will gain confidence, it will gain experience, it will gain growth. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Well, it's the same thing with one sense of spirit and one sense of the humanness. Okay. We have these two dichotomies working. Yeah. So the best that we can do really is to see ourselves growing even before we get there.
And how does somebody, you know, see themselves growing in a painful situation?
Okay, this would be tough. I will say that. That is very tough to grow. So you have to grow so quickly like that, you know, if that be the case. But it's not the case. It's not the case. You are, how should I say, for lack of a better word, you are allowed to grow as you can. Okay? You really are. You're allowed to grow and gain your experiences as you can. You know, just because I can see, say, the beautiful mountains where I'm sitting, you know, doesn't mean that everyone's going to be able to see that, you know. So I right. would expect that a person sees themselves as, okay, you know, if they were to take this dynamics, this teachings seriously, then seriously means to also allow for your own growth to catch up so that you can evolve. You know, my mother used to say that a lot. She used to say, yes, you have to be involved to evolve, you know? And that's right there is as simple as it gets. Yeah, you can't stand off to the side and go, oh, well, let me read about this and then I'm there. You know, no, you have to take the steps too. You know, eleka olelo, you have to walk that talk too. You
know, right, yeah. Right.
And Grandpa used to call it ikaponomea. So all is in perfection. Everything is in right time, right place, right being. And so ho'oponopono ke ala invites us to in every situation to go to a pono perspective.
Yeah.
You know, so it's how you perceive, how you choose to perceive a situation or an experience. You can perceive it as pono, the excellence and perfection, yeah. Or yeah. Pilikia, trauma and drama. So you get to choose how you see it, and the ho'oponopono ke ala invites us to go to that pono perspective where you can see the learnings, the lessons and blessings from an experience like your house burning down in the fires, losing everything. You go through that experience.
Our neighbors just did that.
The lava came and took 700 homes.
Why did I know that? I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that. And I just picked that out of the random thoughts. Oh, we are in the same energy.
Going river of lava going just a mile down from our house and people we know and love, you know, their houses covered in 100 feet of lava at this time. So, but you know, you go to the pono perspective, that knowing of ikaponomea, all is in perfection, no matter what it is, you know? And it's when we choose, we can choose to judge it as good or bad, you know? And the evolvement is when we see the learnings and the growth and the blessings from it. You know, when you see the pono in what has happened, you can easily see the pilikia. You can easily see
the trauma and drama.
Yeah, what you would see that was maybe what you would call wrong. But when you look for the right, and there's a lot, there, that's when you're really able to gather and tab in to that, you know, the growth and the involvement of that experience.
Right,
so
right.
The question always remains, okay, great, girls, how do I get there? How do I get there? And I say, one moment at a time.
Right, right. So you ladies make a couple of really good points that I want to kind of break this down for people, because it gets really easy to get lost in, I call it the swirl of thought. But I wanted to break some of the very key things that you two have said down for people. The first thing is, Anike, you said that some people see the mountain and others who are there do not see the mountain right in front of them. Why is that, that some people can tune into the mountain in their reality and other people cannot tune in and see that aspect of their reality? What is the native perspective on that?
It depends on their focus. It really is. It depends on their focus. As an example, I may have a clear sight to the mountain, whereas maybe someone else doesn't from where they sit, because maybe it's cloudy, or maybe they just don't see it because they desire not to see it. You know, I mean, there's other factors that plays into this as well.
Right. So not everybody. Right. So not everybody sees the same reality.
That's true.
That's true. So not everybody sees the same reality.
They evolve. You know, we're all spirit. We all come from, I mean, our growth is of our evolvement. Our evolvement comes from our involvement. What is it that we choose to be involved with in order to evolve?
Right, right. So the inner work that you do will change or affect your perspective on how you see reality. And it is that perspective or that consciousness that somebody holds that will make it so that someone is seeing the mountain and tuning into the mountain that is in their reality and others not seeing it. So it's kind of like a change of energy. Yeah, it's kind of a change of energy. Some people's energy have a frequency that they can tune in and see the mountain, and others' energy is not at that point that they're not seeing it. So is that the difference between people?
And that's free choice. And that we were all not made as robotic duplicates of each other. No, we are all of one. Yeah. We are all of one. I mean, even if I had a twin sister, she still would not be the exact spirit and space that I feel in this world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
she keeps it real simple, and this is a beautiful thing, is Anike refers to it as, you know, for us to be aloha and stay in that pono place ourselves moment to moment, is that we understand that everyone is individual and they reach the beach when they reach the beach.
Exactly.
You know?
Right, and right. And that is so key. Yeah. Right. And that is so key because, you know, I myself am from the Hmong tribe of Laos. And the Hmong tribe of Laos, their folklore is that they're descendants of a Polynesian empire of the folklore of Lemuria, which we have a lot of those folklore stories of the ancestry and our ancient, you know, civilization in documented in artwork and murals and in story in Buddhism, just to kind of save the oral history of the ancient people that over time, you know, have become part of the mainland. But some of parallels in perspective are very, very similar to the Hawaiian perspectives of Ho'oponopono Ke'ala, because in that, like, if everyone has free will to do pretty much anything they want, they can change the trajectory of the way in which they're going to create reality or anything else like that. But everybody is different, and we respect everybody's different because everybody has a different journey. And oneness in the Western mind is, in some Western mind, the concept of oneness is that we all come together and we adopt the same thing and we look alike and we dress alike and we have the same belief system, and that's oneness, that's unity. Whereas that's not true in the East. In the East, and I think this might be very similar to Hawaiian perspective, in the East, And in Buddhism, oneness and unity has been ancient beliefs going all the way back to ancient times. And it is like a puzzle, different pieces of this, of a puzzle picture that have different sizes and different shapes. And oneness is putting together all of the puzzle, all the different shapes to come together and then work together with our differences to create something more. That's oneness, like a puzzle. Not, we're all going to change our shape and become squares and then sit next to each other. So there is no conversion. There's no reason to convert anybody because everyone is bringing in their puzzle piece. So what is the Hawaiian perspective of oneness, of unity?
Well, not the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
What is your perspective of oneness and unity?
Yes, it really is very much the aloha, very much of you and your spirit greatness, you know, your spirit that feels right about something, feels pono about something, you know, and wants to say grow with that or evolve with that, or you know, it's a choice that you make for yourself. You're not expecting, oh gosh, everybody else has to do that, you know. No, it's not, you know, but that you respect the fact that you're having your own experience and your neighbor is having their experience, etc. And you can come to the table, which you should be able to once you understand this, you can come to the table and you can all share that, you know, whatever it is, share that evolvement, share the experiences, share that spirit greatness, if you will, share it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So again, it very much bring, you are what you are. There was no mistake. And you're going to come to a table and bring what you are. So whether you're this culture, belief, whatever the aspects that make up who you are, you bring to come to the table and then you just kind of, like the puzzle piece analogy, put it together.
Exactly.
So you're not changing anyone. And that's the thing in the West that's very common, is they always want to convert and change people. My place, my view is better. My perspective is better. Try this. And they can't accept people for the differences that they bring to the table. So what do you say for people who are challenged with accepting what other people bring to the table?
Oh my goodness, geez. I'll say, well, you know, you might want to take a look at that dish just a little bit closer.
How's that working for you?
How's that? Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And just there are tools that we work with in the workshops and stuff that really help people to open that space up, you know, because more and more people really do want to open that space up.
And we lovingly, we jokingly, because, you know, humor is such a powerful thing, is we call it living in Jell-O.
Yeah.
You know, Jell-O, there's a lot of wiggle room. You know, so when you're in that aloha spirit, when you're living that aloha and your pono, you know, you're in the excellence and you know all is in perfection, and there's so many different things out here and people believe so many different, and it's different from you. It's different from where you are and what you understand. And when you live in that Jell-O, it really makes it such a joyful experience, because you can really have a lot of wiggle room living in Jell-O.
If you were going to, is to measure up to what joy the heart feels, you know, what is that joy about, you know, and take that as the rhythm to open that light, to open yourself with a little bit more, you know, and to help the mana'o, the mindset, to change from that controlling state of being and to, you know, partner to partnership with the heart space, you know. So there's a lot that goes on in the internal space of self.
Right, right.
We need to, yeah.
Right.
Before I talk.
Right. Now, the thing that a lot of confusion that comes through with studying this modality, and you know, I completely understand the tools that you ladies bring forth for Ho'oponopono, Ke'ala. And just like we had discussion earlier, we respect everyone's journey. We respect the different aspects that make up their journey, whether some parts of that journey is going to be very difficult and have lots of pain and suffering, like losing your house to a fire or being hurt by somebody else physically. But that is one piece of a longer picture. And like you said earlier, it depends on how they see that lesson. What lessons can they take out of it? What silver linings can they take out of it? What can they learn out of it so that they use that experience, even though it's seen as, quote, wrong or bad or it should never have happened, whatever, use that experience to create better what already happened, that was how it's supposed to happen. So, you know, with that comes in the very different perspective, especially in Western philosophies about forgiveness. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody has a different, you know, perspective. Oh, you should just forgive and let go. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And then there's the perspective of accept what happened, but let go of the anger that you still charge in that thought of that incident that happened so that you can free yourself from, you know, being triggered by that. What is your perspective of on how it is forgiveness is confused with Ho'oponopono Ke'ala?
Well, again, it's as you mentioned earlier, it seems that and I did too, is that it seems like when we say, oh, everybody in the same canoe and all of that, it seems like we might be talking about converting everyone, you know, and that's not true. Well, it's the same thing for what is it that we see with people who are maybe asking forgiveness, you know, if asking for forgiveness is something that really motivates you and that is so needed in your heart, then yes, I would say go for it. Ask that forgiveness. If that's where, you know, if that's where you're coming from, yes, do it. Absolutely, you know. But be aware that just because you do it, it doesn't mean that the next person has to do it also, you know. Everyone has their own paddle, their own pono paddle, you know, to paddle the canoe with. So just don't expect that just because you're asking for forgiveness that it's all done with, even with the other person, because that may not be so.
Yeah. And Ho'oponopono Ke'ala is not about forgiveness.
Exactly. It's not about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a value. It is a value that stands, that has its own merits to stand on. It does not have to be incorporated in any other teachings, but that it stands on its own merit, you know. And so right. It doesn't have to gain value or importance. It is already valued, you know. So you don't have to fit it into, say, Ho'oponopono.
Right, right. So
call forgiveness, call it like the forgiveness program. Don't call it ho'oponopono, because that's not what the Hawaiian word means.
No.
It doesn't mean, it's not conflict resolution.
Yeah.
It is right, you know, the perfection, making right more right. That's mm-hmm. what ho'oponopono yeah. literally means.
It's like he said, it's ancient, but yet it's so advanced also. You know, the enlightenment right. of it is so advanced.
Right, because you have to almost see from a cosmic perspective of the situation. And exactly. that's where I say it is an ancient modality to help people address issues or quote-unquote issues that they have about something. And the Western interpretation is just forgive it, you know, let go of the anger, you know, just you do your own forgiving. There's all different ways of forgiving, but Ho'oponopono, there is no forgiveness to it. It is what it is. It was already right when it happened, how it happened. There are no mistakes. There is a reason in creation for that. And it is a piece of a larger creation process that you have yet to experience. But when you experience the larger aspect of that full picture, you'll see that when you look at this one little stuck issue that causes a lot of pain and suffering, it was like a linchpin that started a whole movement that created the bigger mm-hmm. positive outcome. So, and I understand a lot of Westerners are going to look at that and have really serious issue with that, because they think, oh, this horrible incident in history that afflicted a lot of pain and suffering of these people, how can that already be right in the creation process? You know, it should never happen. But if none of these things happen, whether it's positive things or negative things, then the things that follow and create from it wouldn't be created as well.
But I think,
am I seeing it right?
Say it's right. I mean, you know, we never say that your way of thinking needs to be placed in this model. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're saying that the value of forgiveness, if that means for you to ask someone for forgiveness, then do it on your own value, on your own value system. You know, you don't have to go find a belief system and then go stick it in there.
Right,
you know,
right.
When it's
right.
there.
Right, right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm also saying is, please, before you even think to do that, at least, you know, with my Hawaiian culture, please look up what the words mean.
Right, right.
Because
so there is no forgiveness concept in Ho'oponopono. It's just accept, learn the lesson, and then create from the lesson and silver linings that you learn.
Evolved.
Yes. Evolved.
Yeah, yes. And realistically, everything is energy. And so, you know, forgiveness has its own energy.
Okay.
Forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. Some wrong mm-hmm. has been done. So mm-hmm. when you give forgiveness or you ask for forgiveness, a wrong has to be done. Now, wrong has its own vibration mm-hmm. because it's an energy.
Mm-hmm.
Aloha and pono
mm-hmm.
have their own vibration. They cannot exist in the same time and space. They're not a vibrational match.
Yeah.
So Ho'oponopono Keala is founded, is based in the aloha and the aloha mm-hmm. spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And in there is no wrong, not even in the words Ho'oponopono Keala. Is there implied anything wrong? So it's all about right and more right. And this is the path. And forgiveness is its own, like she says, it's its own value. It's actually its own vibration. Mm-hmm. You know, like love and hate, they're two different vibrations. They don't exist in the same time and space. So it's as simple as that. When you go to the foundation with the basics of energy.
Right.
One or the other.
Right. In actuality, when you look at humans and you go into the core of all of humanity, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing negative.
All of that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that goes into the next question, because especially in some world viewpoints, they have the concept of right and wrong, or good and bad. And if things in some traditions, especially in Eastern traditions, there are no negatives. It's all light. It's all positive. You just choose not to see it, and so that you can pretend that there is darkness in people and pretend that there is darkness in reality, where it's just people basically trying to find and recognize the light within. So can you explain that concept that there is in Hawaiian tradition and in this modality that people can use to kind of help them, you know, create the best life, that there is no wrong, there is no negative?
By understanding understanding what we've said, what we've put out here, already gives you some real strong insights as to what Ho'oponopono Keala is all about, really. The other part to that is to understand that the society of right and wrongs, let's say, okay, comes from a very competitive society, comes from a what I term as a fault-finding society, okay? Fault-finding society. It's as simple as that. In other words, if that is where you want to evolve from, then so be it, you know? The fault-finding society will show you will justify all that leadership and the reason for you to not feel, say, good about yourself or good about the world, or that there should always be trauma and drama in the world, or, you know, we can stack it up. You know, we can stack it up. The reasons for wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you think it's ego-based?
Oh, absolutely.
It's ego.
Absolutely.
It's ego.
Absolutely.
So the imbalance that many people, especially in Western belief systems about reality, the Dharma, the Aloha, everything, consciousness, sees a high, a low, a good, a bad, a good versus evil, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of the competition. And that's, you know, if you're on one side, then the other side, you have somebody to fight for, to fight against, and that would feed in your ego because you're on the good side. Everybody's on the good side. Even people on the bad side think they're on the good side. So the good side thinks they're on the good side. The bad side thinks they're on the good side. So everybody's on the good side. Yeah. It's like they're fighting each other because they're both good. It gets confusing. Well, it's confusing.
A whole Hollywood mess. You know, it's a whole Hollywood mess. You know.
Yeah. And see, again, we get back to the ancient message of the ancestors, whether it comes from the Hawaiian or it comes from different shaman beliefs or Buddhism, Vedas, all these traditions, there is no wrong. It's all good. It's all light. And it's not recognizing that in each other that is causing that you versus me. Let's find out who's good. We're, you guys both are thinking you're good. So it's not recognizing you guys are both good. So it's kind of funny when you think about that.
One of the most amazing things that I recognized early on when I started studying with Anake was she brings you, and Nakupuna, the ancestors, bring you immediately to our true identity. And our true identity is greatness. Mm-hmm. We are greatness. We are perfect just as we are. Every single moment. We have always been perfect. We will always be perfect. And that was the first thing she had on the board in that first class was, welcome to your greatness. And, you know, and then from there on, you know, as that gave me permission to be truly my true identity of who I am, then I could go forward. And from that experience, and when you come to a place where you fully accept that, you apono that, you accept it, I am greatness. All of a sudden, you recognize that in everybody else. Mm-hmm. There is no competition. There is no wrong or right, or you should think like me, or you should believe like me, you know, that kind of stuff. There's no fault finding at that point. You really can easily go to a pono perspective of things and of others. And because you really have fully stepped into your seat in the va'a, in the canoe, and you are being your greatness. You now are, you're in charge. You know, you are creating your desired experience moment to moment.
Yes.
Life isn't happening to you. Experiences aren't happening. Fires aren't happening to you. You are in charge of your experience, you know?
Right. You are creating it from within.
Right. Yes. So when you really connect into, and that is the fundamental foundation of Ho'oponopono Ke Ala, and one of the first things on a cave.
Right, you know, and I would say, especially as the world becomes smaller through the way that we connect, especially right now through Zooming all over the world, and you two ladies are giving workshops on this, on online webinars, online retreats right now, and then, you know, when we do have in person, you have those as well. But as the world becomes more integrated and immerse with each other, it's almost like we can't go to the old ways, or I would say the Western ways of, I'm going to colonize you and you're going to take everything that I have to give you. So you're going to adopt my culture, adopt my language, adopt my belief system about reality and how we create reality. You can adopt it all, but instead that hasn't worked in history, and it's just going to cause more of that good, bad fighting. So if we could maybe just wipe that out and adopt the perspective of when you meet new people, or when you engage with commerce with new countries, adopt more the perspective of, okay, here's what I bring to the table, what can we learn from you and what you bring to the table, and how can we coexist and also create new experiences together that we're both going to love as we are. And that's old thinking that needs to be new again, all over the world.
Yeah, you know, and through the experiences that we're having at this time, we really understand globally, you know, on a global perspective now, how interconnected we truly are. We are so interconnected. And so everything affects everything else. And, you know, we can't, now that we've come to this kind of enlightened place, because we're seeing things more clearly than we ever have before, we've kind of had an awakening, and you can't unlearn what you've learned. you can't go back. You just can't, you know. And I think that's a lot of the anxiety and perhaps fear that's happening.
Yes.
Is people knows their mind knows we're never going to be able to go back and be entertained by, you know, distractions or all of these other things that used to be in the old, because we now know, and you can't unknow what you know.
Right.
So
right.
This is really a-
right. Right. So it's like, you know how, like in Platonic solids of geometry, they have all the different shapes of different kinds. A square does not look at a circle and say, now you must be a circle so that we can coexist. And a hexagon doesn't look at a square or a diamond and say, now you must be a hexagon so that we can coexist. Instead, they all come together and they make a six-figure Platonic solid in sacred geometry, and then they become a crystalline consciousness or a crystalline feature. A little bit math there, but that's basically this another analogy for people to understand what unity and oneness in this perspective is. And so if you're going to have more harmony in these higher energies of Earth right now, you're going to need to work with those differences that people bring to the table and learn from each other. It sounds so simple, but you know, people make it much harder than it is. Everybody to the core is good. There is no bad. We make mistakes because we're not seeing the good in each other and we're not seeing the light in each other. But if you ask, like if you ask somebody who is deemed horrible, they're gonna say, I'm doing good for my people. So it's really trying to figure out where are we not seeing the light in each other. So what kind of message does the ancestors say about how we are going to move forward in these higher energies of Earth?
Well, I'd like,
because we can't keep on fighting forever.
You mentioned that we can't see the light in each other. Well, that doesn't mean we should stop trying to see the light in each other.
You know? And when we can recognize the light in ourselves.
Yeah, that's
when
biggie.
We more clearly can see the light in others.
That's
because
the
of the experience. The living experience of that, and we get better at that as we see the light in ourselves, and then that vision gets better and better, and then we can see the light in others. It's just
like you'll probably, in fact, I'm pretty sure that you will relate to this. I was telling her the other day about the kupunas, meaning the grandmothers, you know, and the grandfathers, the elders, you know, and that it's very customary in our culture that you have great respect for the elders, you know, because we know that the elders have been through many experiences. So therefore, if they even sit down for a minute and just, you know, explain something to us, if they choose to, then how fortunate we are to have that, you know. And I told her, I said, yeah, in our culture, in fact, you don't have a voice until you are considered a kupuna, an elder, you know. And that would be 60-ish on.
65-ish
on. You know? Yeah. Anything less than that, they'll look at you and then they'll go, But they don't really take you seriously because not enough experience. You know, they recognize that too, you know. And so as you grow, you notice.
Yeah,
it's so,
you know,
true.
Yeah, as we apply, you know, the tools and apply these abilities, you know, really in that mana iho, that self-love, and you know, embracing and accepting our greatness, you know, and we really have living experience with that,
then we gain this wisdom, and it's easier, and we're more powerful with those gifts. And so right. then, of course, that gift, it we're able to see others in that way. And then right. that shifts, you know, all of our priorities. It shifts how we show up in the world, how we navigate the waters of life.
Right. Exactly. Very good point. And let me ask you another question about that. I mean, you know, when we look at the, you know, they call, Anike, they call your generation the great generation. You guys did a lot of things, you know, when you guys overcome a lot of pandemics, you overcome a lot of the depression, you overcome a lot of, tragic world wars. I mean, there's a lot of things that you guys took that was quote unquote wrong, and you guys made it right and righter. And now we are in this generation or in this reality at this time, and a lot of the people are, this might be their first real pandemic. This might be their first real recession or possible recession, and, you know, all these different things. And we're kicking and screaming and forcing everybody to do what they want and all of these different things. And we're taking all of the stuff that was created and planted for us to be able to complain about for granted. So why are so many people not grateful for the things in their lives, even in the quote, quote, chaos that we're experiencing now in this worldwide pandemic?
Why are they not grateful?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems that they're not.
Well, you know, there's an old tale with that. The one who seems the loudest are the ones that people see the most, you know. But I don't believe in that. I don't believe that.
The squeaky wheel?
Yeah. I really don't. Oil. I see so many more of our, you know, of our youngsters, our younger generations and stuff. They are working very hard to make a difference. I see that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it gives me, absolutely, it gives me the choice that I could sit there and say, oh my goodness, you guys shouldn't do it that way because this is how we got into that and blah, 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 blah. No, my job, I feel, is to help encourage those that feel like, I think I've got it, Kupuna. I think, you know, I think I'm doing it okay. Am I doing it okay? You know, mm-hmm. That's where my energies are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, Anike, you know, speaks of this all the time. She goes, you know, we're so busy gathering the alo, gathering the wisdom, gathering the knowing, gathering, you know, learning here, go to this class, go to that class. So you gather all this alo, all this knowledge and wisdom and enlightenment. And yet we haven't done the hana.
Right.
You know, and hana is action, the application, the applying it in our lives. And so, you know, if we find that, you know, we see what you had said was, how can people become more grateful? Or how come this generation isn't grateful for the opportunities in this pandemic, in this learning lesson that we've been given? And it's about putting in the hana, which is applying and energizing the vibration of mahalo, of gratitude. And we do that with our chant. That's our chant is mahalo nui. Mahalo is gratitude, gratefulness, thank you. And nui is very much abundant. So thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So we energize. We know how energy works. We know the universal law of energy and how it works. And so we energize it in our lives. We do a list of mahalos every day and we speak them out loud and we put a glass of water on it at night and we speak it. And it infuses that gratitude into the water. And then in the morning we drink that water. We do the hana. Mm-hmm. We walk the talk. We olelo, holo, holo. We walk the talk, and we energize that gratitude throughout the day. So as something happens, we tab it, acknowledge it, and we mahalo it. And so, you know, we're constantly in that vibration of gratitude. And right. So if you want more things to be grateful for, energize that vibration, and all of a sudden everything around you are things to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's how you, when you work with the energies, the universal law of energy and how it works, that's when you get exactly what you're desiring.
Yeah, we're not only looking at the physicalness that's been created, but we look at what's coming through the creation of the inside of self, that spirit place, you know.
And right.
Are we working with, you know, that's important.
Right. I completely agree 100%. That's how you live moment by moment in our life. And that's how you create with the highest energy to create the highest version of reality for your soul to experience in your body. So in Eastern philosophies and in Buddhism, when we meditate, and meditation can be anything where you're not really thinking, the monkey mind, the ego has kind of shut off. And basically you just, all you do is you get into, even walking in nature, you just get into a process where you are in science, they call it the gamma wave frequency. It's a higher frequency that tunes into higher energies of the universe and higher realities. And the easiest way for anybody to get into that higher energy of the universe is to be in gratitude, to count the silver linings, to see the positive outcome that could, the positive potential that could happen, to see the light inside the bad, and see that there is no bad, and that just the working on it. So, I mean, it is all of that. So, and I do agree that for the most part, if you just don't pay attention to the small amount of people who are not taking things, you know, not being grateful for things, complaining about things, all of that, as compared to the mass whole of most of humanity and most people, and especially the young, many of them are grateful, even in tough situations like the pandemic that we're going through. They are grateful that they can, you know, have online school, that they can order all their favorite foods straight to them, delivered like a king and a queen, that they can play any video game about anything that they want to at their fingertips, that they can communicate with somebody in Hawaii to Seattle, or they can communicate with anybody in the world at any time when they feel like it in an instant, that they can, that even looking around, I mean, even when I look around at you two ladies, there is no time in history where you can get all of the things that you want in the same space. I mean, you're so many different options. Even to order food, it's like, what do you want? Do you want Hawaiian food? Do you want Chinese food? Do you want meat and potatoes? Do you want barbecue? These all came from different cultures, and guess what? They're all at your fingertips for you to order, and they will deliver it straight to your mouth if you want to. Be grateful for that, because if you ask anybody in history on your worst day during the pandemic, or even after the pandemic, and they see all the opportunities and all of the different potentials that you have at your fingertips, they would trade your worst day. And that is what people need to see, that there's so much to be grateful for.
Always, 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 always.
Yeah.
And I'm so really, really grateful that you've taken this on, you know, that you're listening to the ancestors and they're saying, okay, get this book done. And, you know, oh my goodness.
What last, Anake, Mahe'alani, and for both of you ladies, what last message does the ancestors of Hawaii and the ancient empire of the Polynesian Islands want us to take with us going forward in these times?
Well, they're saying right now that there'll come a day when we leave the planet, you know, and by that they mean that through space travel, they're talking about that, you know. And even before that, they're mentioning for many of us to come to that place where you ask yourself, who's in charge? You know, who's in charge? Am I in charge of my evolution? Or is someone else who lived maybe 2,000 years ago in charge of the evolution, or somebody who lives in Washington, or, you know, wherever, you know? Am I in charge? Am I really in charge of me and what I bring to the table? You know, it just breaks down to that, to the core, to the core. Yeah. And so right. To be able to help others to come to that point in their lives, you know, to answer that question, who's in charge? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we've had so many blessings and so many pono experiences that we've gone through even before the pandemic, like we said, with the lava flow, you know, coming so close, and you know, learning the teachings of the goddess Pele, the volcano goddess. And what she always teaches us, you know, especially in this time of the feminine, you know, the energies of the feminine. Mm-hmm. And she reminds us and calls out. She gives the kaheya, the call out to the women, you know, and then even the men, you know, to really come into balance with their feminine sides, with their feminine, their intuitiveness, their gifts, and to really step fully into our greatness. You know, the goddess Pele, she always shows herself in the greatest aloha that she is. And when you look at how, you know, that she does, that she brings her flows, and maybe she does cover an area and there might be homes there. But when you step back and you get a higher perspective, you actually see that what she's done is she's brought in balance to a place that perhaps kind of had some things going on. And because we live here and we know this area, we know the places that she's covered, and we see the balance that she's now brought, and this new earth and this new growth and this, you know, just the, you know, everything is so fertile, you know, the new ground that has come, and it's very magnetic. You know, when lava comes from the center of the earth, it's very magnetic. So she's adding to that magnetic energy that we have and the gifts of that. And, you know, she really calls to us, especially in this feminine energy, in this time of the grand feminine, you know, Ikaika Wahine, we call it, the powerful woman. She calls for us to fully accept our greatness, know that we are perfect just as we are, accept that we are greatness, we are perfection, and to really step into our seat and to show up in the world in that way. You know, to come forward and bring our superpowers, whatever that is, because we all have our own little superpowers that we have.
Yeah, we can go right out here and you can see the flow that where she's been. And from that point on, you can see how much she has really added to the island. You know, the birthing of this ancient goddess, you know. The birthing and her own ohana, meaning family member, her relationship with her sister, Namaho Kekai, who is the goddess of the sea. I mean, the greater power there is, you know. So many people come to our islands, so many, and they come to give ceremony or to be attached to, say, Pele, for instance, you know. And so they'll come and they'll ask us, oh, can you take us to where Pele is, you know, is it safe, is it okay, you know. And we'll say, oh yeah, and they'll want to do ceremony there. And then we'll point out, we'll say, oh, and let's not forget her sister.
The big sister.
Yeah, and they'll go, the sister? And I go, oh yeah, mm-hmm. The sister, the mighty Namaho Kikai, who is the goddess of the oceans that ties us all together from the South Japan Ocean, China, you know, all the oceans. And we're all in this, you know. Expand. I call it index the aloha.
Yeah, you know, as Pele teaches us to stand in our greatness and to be our greatness, Namaho Kikai holds that space so well,
so well.
Continuously, you know, in her ebbs and flows and you know, to go and to just sit and watch her, you know, for the day. Mm. And she teaches us so much, always. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So that is the call. That's the kaheya for now at this time, is to really just embrace and accept ourselves as the greatness that we are.
So, you know, so many people can and do and, you know, must sit in their living rooms and perhaps watch this amazing flow going on the TV and stuff. We look over just through the forest and we go, hi.
Bailey's in the hood.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well. Yes. Onike Mahealani and La Akea. I think we've given listeners a lot to think about. Great tools that they can put in the tool belt for how they are going to create their reality from within the best that they can and still be good stewards to this home that we call Earth. And yes, I will agree as well that our potential is in the stars. As dust that we once were, we will again enter the dust of the stars and take the DNA and the history and the experiences of Earth with us when she also rests as well eventually. So, you know, if you want to learn more about Ho'oponopono Ke Ala and this tool and to get in contact with these two ladies, you can reach out to them on their website. Right now they are offering online webinars, online seminars. And so just look over their offerings and you can find that all on this website, which is AlohaSpiritAuntie.com. So with that, thank you so much for a wonderful interview. I had so much fun. And until next time, aloha.
A-U-N-T-Y.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you, ladies. Blessings.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to MerkabaChakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.